Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Deep left into the bleachers, a two-run homer.
A swing and a miss, ball game.
Liftoff.
And history marches on, 22 consecutive wins.
From the sports desk of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com, this is Leading Off with Ryan Lewis, a podcast on the Cleveland Indians.
Santana makes the catch! Ball game! The Indians have won the American League pennant!
The Cleveland Indians are going to the World Series!
Now, Ryan Lewis and Dan Kadar.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Leading Off. This is Dan Kadar of Ohio.com, and of course Ryan Lewis is here with me. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing just fine. Setting up my table here in the recording area and had some technical difficulties, but we'll get through them. We'll get through today's podcast.
Grind it out.
That's right. We're recording this a little after noon on Monday. The Indians are off today, and then they pick things back up tomorrow with the series, but today we're going to talk about what the Indians have been doing. The last podcast we recorded, we took last week off because of some scheduling snafus. The last podcast we recorded, we kind of were talking about here comes this big stretch of games for the Indians, and now they've gotten through it. They took 3 out of 4 against the Twins. They dropped the series to the Red Sox. 2-1, and they went 2-2 against the Yankees. So as it stands, as we record, the Indians are 2.5 games out of the AL Central lead behind Minnesota, of course, who just don't seem to lose. Ryan, what's your impression on the Indians and how they did in that really big, important stretch of games?
Well, I think so far this month, the Indians have done what they needed to do, and it's kind of like what we talked about either at the beginning of August or the end of July, somewhere around there. This stretch of games through August, through much of August, was their toughest stretch this season. And the Indians had a pretty easy schedule through July, while the Twins went through a tougher slate of games, and that was going to flip in August. So what the Indians needed to do in terms of, you know, just staying within striking distance, was just kind of keeping everything where it was and kind of just holding their ground. And they've not only done that, they momentarily took sole possession up first place from the Twins. Like you said, they're not 2.5 back, but they just went through the Twins, Red Sox, and Yankees. They went 6-5 in that stretch. Yasiel Puig has been a tremendous boost to this lineup. Reyes has gotten on the board at least a little bit. His slump is hasn't quite been broken out completely, but he's he certainly finally started to contribute. And those two guys have just helped to really lengthen out this lineup while the starting rotation has continued to get some positive contributions from some of the younger arms within the system. And the Indians have been able to use that to roll and at least keep pace with the Twins. And, what the Indians are not best case scenario, but they're, the most reasonable positive scenario is that they roll into September within a couple of games of the Twins, and this is something that really might go down right to the stretch. Both of these teams haven't really backed off for the last couple of weeks. The Indians have been among the best teams in baseball since early June, and the Twins have been slightly up and down during that stretch, but as long as that lineup continues to produce anywhere close to the level that it has, and as long as they continue to get some nice contributions from a starting rotation that all year has been better than what a lot of people predicted, these are two of the better teams in baseball, and the Indians have handled this stretch of games pretty well, and a lot of it's going to come down to possibly right down to the end, and and when these two teams face off again.
That really seems to be the case, so long as the Indians just continue to, like you said, kind of stay doing what they're doing and winning series. The Red Sox series was a little not great because they lost it, of course, but you know, it is what it is. I don't think the Red Sox are quite as terrible as they've played this season. So it was a tough stretch, and now the Indians.
And they also played.
Yeah.
They also played a talented team without Puig while he served his suspension. And
yep.
And you know, as we saw, the lineup didn't quite produce at the level that was needed. They lost a couple of games there, and then. A few days later, they absolutely destroyed the Yankees in New York. So it's just one of those things where, you know, that's going to happen. You know, the Indians are going to continue to have a tough stretch, and you know, having a little bit more of a element of consistency would be a big thing for this lineup.
Mm-hmm. And although I loved seeing the Franmil Reyes pop-up home run, boy, that Yankees right field is a joke. I just got to say that publicly. There was a game
314, but
yeah.
it plays like 214.
There was a game last night where one of the Yankees players hit a home run right there, and the other team was like, "You got to be kidding me! It's absurd." Well, I guess it would have been the Indians. Then there was that fight, or not the fight, the complaints rather by the Yankees, where they all got thrown out in that series. I'm going crazy in the dugout. CC Sabathia got tossed. Brett Gardner got tossed. Brett Boone got tossed. That was humorous, at least I thought.
And mustard, the Indians' condiment mascot, also imitated Brett Gardner's, what's becoming his signature, I guess, of beating the top of that dugout with his bat.
What a weirdo.
Yeah, it felt like half the team was kind of getting thrown out for a while. It was like the scene from one of the major league movies.
Right, it really was. So we'll see if the weirdness continues when the Indians play at the Mets here in the next three games. Then they play three at home against the Royals, and then they got a road trip at Detroit and Tampa Bay. But Ryan, something that really seems to be getting some momentum here for the Indians is the progress of Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco, and we'll talk about both of those players. Carrasco, if you're listening to us on Monday, is actually pitching in Akron tonight. Corey Kluber was down pitching in Charlotte on a rehab assignment on the road. He came out after an inning with some... What was it, Ryan? Side tightness, I guess? Some side soreness?
Abdominal tightness right now.
There you go.
You know, as of where we're recording, we know that it was considered abdominal tightness, and we're still kind of waiting to hear in terms of what that means in terms of his schedule
right.
going forward.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate. It was his third rehab start or appearance. So the idea, Ryan, is that Kluber and Carrasco will come back. Kluber would go in the starting rotation, and Carlos Carrasco would go in the bullpen. Let's assume that Corey Kluber does come back at some point this season as a starting pitcher. Where does he fit in? I mean, obviously Bieber and Clevinger are now the 1 and 2 on the Indians' rotation. I don't think anybody can challenge that. Then you have Aaron Civale, who has pitched really well. Adam Plutko, who has been decent, and he does have an option, and then you have Zach Plesac. How does Corey Kluber fit in there? I mean, obviously, a lot of people want to see Kluber back, and he was once the unquestioned leader of the starting rotation, but I have a hard time understanding where he fits in the puzzle there for the Indians.
Well, you're right about one thing. Until Kluber returns and shows that he's back to his, you know, Cy Young level form, you're right. Bieber and Clevinger are the 1-2 for this rotation. And in terms of who might be the odd man out, I think that it would end up being Plutko, who is probably one of those organizational guys who will never quite get the credit that he kind of deserves for being a quality stopgap guy. A guy who the Indians have routinely called up to make a start. They've routinely messed with his schedule to kind of benefit the other four guys because he can be flexible and because he can, give you a quality average, quality start, sometimes above average, sometimes he's been pretty good. And he's been just a solid, rotation, a solid organizational piece for this team for a couple of years. But I don't think that you can send out Plesac. And if Savali keeps pitching like he has, I don't think that you can send him down either. So I think it has to be Plucko. Mm. And in terms of how things are right now, Kluber could still be a couple of weeks away. A lot can change. But Plesac, Savali, after Bieber and Clevinger, those four have been so good for the Indians for the last couple of weeks. That Plucko, again, kind of might be the odd man out. One of those, I'm sure not within the organization, but perhaps from outside the system, looked at as one of those borderline like thankless guys who kind of has just always gone out, given the Indians some quality innings, kind of helped to protect either the bullpen or the rotation in terms of their 5-day programs. And this could be another case where there's just not enough room. Plesac and Savali have really made this even more of a crowded rotation than it was on opening day. And even after the trade of Trevor Bauer, it's one of the reasons why, the Indians, may have, had even more reason to pull the trigger on that Trevor Bauer trade. When you have guys, Bieber, Clevinger, Plesac, and Savali, none of those guys are yet eligible for arbitration. They're all under club control for several years. The latter two do not have long track records yet, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. But, they've had quality showings, and when you add in Kluber, and, when you look forward to 2020 with Carrasco likely back in the rotation, now it's even more crowded. Plucko may be the odd man out there, but the Indians do have some options.
Mm. And then Carrasco, like I said, he's pitching in Akron tonight. Nobody knows still what the progress for him is going to be like. Nobody knows what he's going to look like when he actually does pitch in a competitive situation. But this is just a good story, is it not, Ryan?
It's a total, feel-good story. Everybody's pulling for him. It's way bigger and way beyond baseball. That moment during the All-Star game was really, really powerful. There were people in the press box who were struggling to hold in kind of just the emotion of the moment. Mm-hmm. It's something that, nobody deserves to go through. It's something where, everybody has kind of pulled in the same direction, speaking of the team, obviously, of course. The Indians have really respected, Carlos Carrasco's schedule and time and how he feels, and they've continued to say, like, hey, if he wants to throw off a mound, speaking to the last couple weeks, if he wants to throw, great. If he doesn't feel up to it, that's great. In terms of on-the-field stuff, it's really difficult to really put any sort of direction on it. Even now, it's just really hard to say how he's going to feel, and it's totally understandable that if he has some sort of a setback, if he's not feeling great, I'd be really hesitant to put any sort of schedule on it whatsoever. It really just depends how he wants to handle it and how he feels. But yeah, it's anything that he can do, especially in the early going, there are a lot of people pulling for him all across baseball. It's just like whenever anything like this happens, it's always one of those things that kind of shows the community, the baseball family that Carrasco has. And in terms of on the field stuff, if we're trying to cover that, it's just, I'd be pretty hesitant to kind of say anything toward that. And then we'll just see how he feels and kind of what he would like to do and what he can do.
Yeah, I'll be fascinated to see what he does at Akron. One thing we can talk a little bit more concrete about, and I think this is really the hot topic of the Indians right now, or for the Indians, is Brad Hand, the all-star closer. He got knocked around a little bit, and then he He didn't pitch for about 6 days, I believe. Then he came back against the Yankees, and the Indians were well ahead. He was just kind of getting some work in, and he got knocked around a little bit too in that game. So I think the greater Indians fan base just generally has a, they're a little in fear of the closer at all times. You know, the Jose Mesa stuff, the Bob Wickman allowing runners all the time kind of thing. Should anybody be concerned about Brad Hand, Ryan?
Well, those scars of closers past for the Indians fan have definitely not, you know, they're definitely still very visible. I wouldn't go that far yet. He's dealt with some issues like with his slider. Not quite a command issue, but the slider just, it wasn't quite, moving quite as much as what he had wanted. And he talked a few weeks ago about how when his slider is right, he's just throwing it. And it's almost, it's more of a natural, organic feel off of his hand. When he starts to struggle with it and he's trying to kind of generate that same spin and that same amount of movement, that's when, you know, things can kind of get off kilter for him. And then it sort of becomes a location issue through that, in that it's not quite having the movement that he wants. So he's, the starting position is correct, but it's not finishing where he wants it to. He's gone through a couple of years so far this season. Isn't necessarily anything completely new. Had one or two outings, especially when he had that extended break. You know, I don't think it's that much cause for a concern, just based on, you know, sample size. He converted, I think, his first 24 saves. So when he gave up that grand slam against Kansas City, you know, it's going to stick out, you know, that much more just based on his track record this season. The Indians bullpen has been among baseball's best. They do need Brad Hand. They're certainly working with him. But I wouldn't necessarily, you know, a couple of outings, I wouldn't necessarily go, you know, and hit some panic button quite yet. It's not big of a sample size. There's still, you know, 6 weeks until the postseason. The Indians are in this race, but not quite yet. He's been pretty lights out for most of his career, and so that track record for now is going to, you know, speak, you know, much, going to have much more weight than this smaller sample size.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of just the whole season, you know, like you said, you can't look at just a small sample size, because he's on the season kind of projecting to be almost exactly the same pitcher he was last year. I mean, his ERA is up a tiny amount, you know, a quarter of a run. Maybe some people freak out about that, but everything else is kind of projecting at the same rate as previous seasons. So, I don't know. It's a thing. I mean, people are going to talk about it. So, let me ask you this just for fun, Ryan, and this, again, strictly just a little fun we're having here on the podcast because we're winding down. Let's say Brad Hand, something happened to him and he's not the closer. Whether, you know, whether he struggles, whether there's some kind of weirdo injury, just saying, something's stopping Brad Hand from closing. Who is the ninth inning pitcher for the Cleveland Indians? Or is it a particular player? Does it become situational, do you think? What would happen if there was no Brad Hand?
I think it would be situational. I think that Tito would want to, and I would agree that, you know, this would, this would probably be the best way to kind of maximize that group is to look at it from a situational standpoint. If you can try to project in the seventh or eighth where in the lineup you might be, whether it might be three lefties in, you know, in within four hitters or vice versa. You know, if you have a right-handed heavy lineup and Nick Goody's slider is where he wants it to be, Nick Goody might be the guy for that inning. I would, you know, think a bullpen by committee. The days of having to rely on one guy all the time, you know, you need an elite level pitcher with track record who's, and you'd probably want someone who's done them before if we're talking about the postseason. on a, you know, if we're talking about on a consistent everyday basis. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you probably want to kind of maximize the matchups. And the Indians have several guys who have really contributed, who have gone, you know, we talk about the Twins rotation, contributing above and beyond what was expected for the Indians. That's been their bullpen. And so I think if you can maximize kind of the matchups and you know, play that matchup game as much as possible, you're probably going to have the best percentage chance to at least, you know, get through that inning or at least giving yourself the best chance to win.
Mm. And again, since we're having a little fun here at the end, I just want to say I'm becoming a Tyler Clippard fan since we're talking about the bullpen. Just rock solid. I like his approach and everything when he goes out. And I don't know. I really like some of those guys that they have in the bullpen, and Clippard is the guy for me right now at the very moment.
Yeah, I mean, at different points this season, you've had Clippard, you've had
yep.
Goody, you've had A.J. Cole, you've had Nick Wickren, and the list just goes on and on. You know, they've almost made that a crowded group just from being able to kind of maximize each other's strengths and kind of leverage everything off each other to the point that you're so close to their maximum value, and I think that's something that the Indians would want to continue. And then that's just to get to Brad Hand when he's on, whether it be the last four outs, five outs, three outs in the postseason, you know, who knows how they try to handle that. But getting to Brad Hand, you know, that group has done its job.
Indeed it has. Ryan, anything else this week before we head out of here?
I think we're all good. We're all set.
We are all set. Again, the Indians have a series coming up against the New York Mets in New York. Then they're, you know, the schedule gets a little easier, I would say. So we'll talk about that more next week here on Leading Off. Make sure you're following Ryan on Twitter. He's at by Ryan Lewis. You can find all of his stuff and more over at ohio.com/Indians. Thanks, everyone, for listening this week, and we will talk to you next time.